Hello and welcome to episode number 67 of Light the Eye, presented by the U of I Credit Union. I'm Scott Beatty.
I am Robert Rosenthal.
And we are delighted to be back with you in our studio inside the Armory on the campus of the University of Illinois, inside the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. It only took me two takes to say that. When we used to record this open, the first thing you would do is you would... You would say that, make that sound.
And by the fact that I'm not doing it now, it throws you off?
I don't know. I'm just saying you've made a lot of progress, and
I
think I've digressed.
That's all right.
People don't know that I had to take a second take on the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. Somebody pointed it out that I messed it up the last time.
That you've done the CTIL instead of the CITL thing?
I don't know. I might be saying the Teaching Center for Innovative Learning at this point. I don't know what I'm saying. It's the Center for Innovation in Teaching and
Just
Learning.
Just go with the Center for Kids Who Can't Read Good.
That is not what it is for.
Okay. I'm not making fun of Siddle. That is a Zoolander reference. Thank you.
Yes.
Just have to clarify that for everyone listening.
Just in case they weren't.
Just in case. Right.
Yes. But our studio does look a little different there, sir.
Yes, I'm so excited. I found this. Okay, let me move my big head out of the way. Look
at that. For those of you who are on the audio-only version, there's a new pennant hanging up. Well, new to me.
Yes. This is the Illinois pennant that was in my room in the 70s. Like, I remember pictures of my room as a kid where this thing was hanging up there in like 1979 or something like that. So this is a very, very, very old pennant. I'm thankful to my mom that she saves like everything. And so because of that, she gave me a box years ago with a bunch of stuff. I went looking for something this week and I found this in the bottom of that box. And so I think it's perfect for the wall. I mean, look at that thing. That thing is from, it's at least 45 years old. That's the thing that made me an Illini fan. Like, that pennant hanging on my wall that my dad put up there when I was a little kid made me pay attention to this orange and blue team. So I'm so glad I still have it, and it's going to hang behind my big, dumb head.
It's aged very well. It looks beautiful.
Yes. Yes.
It really does. Coming up on the show, Duke is Saturday. Illinois football will look to go 2-0, so we want to talk about that and a few other things. And then our guest today is soon-to-be Hall of Famer, wide receiver, Brandon Lloyd.
I can't be more excited. The little kid in me is just, like, totally freaking out about it. Totally. Like, this is you're just going to have to keep me from being, like, Chris Farley fanboy. Like, remember that time you made that catch in the San Jose State game? It was awesome. You know, you'll just have to keep me from doing that.
And let me say this. You're the one that pointed it out. The catch against Wisconsin. He only got a toe down. Because that's all he needed to. If the whole foot was required, the man would have done so. He was just following the rules.
Yes. It's a fascinating study for officials because his heel eventually came down, but his toe came down and dragged out, and then his heel came down. So the question is, like, if he had just come down with it, like toe and then heel landed out of bounds, he would have been called out of bounds. If there's a toe drag and then the heel lands out of bounds, then you're in bounds. So it was a tricky thing, but yes, it was a touchdown, and we beat Wisconsin.
Before we talk about anything.
Oh, yes. And, I mean, it's really... Besides the bowl game, this is the first time we were lighting the eye after a win. You know, we lit it in the parking lot, and that's what it looked like in the parking lot. And then this is what the same eye looks like when we light the eye.
So, for those of you who were with us early on, Robert has a phrase that everyone knows is a signal that he's going to tell a long story. It's the I'm a college student.
Yes.
And it harkens back to this time where you hurriedly, don't tell the whole story, where you hurriedly, you had to, in a hurry, call like an ice cream joint or something.
All I had to do was order 4 ice cream cakes. And when they answered the phone, hello, Baskin Robbins, all I had to say was, I would like to order 4 of your Father's Day ice cream cakes.
But instead, you first said, I'm a college student.
I'm a college student that lived down here over the summer, and I'm living here with 4 friends, and our dads are coming down this weekend. And we were thinking it would be a great idea if we could maybe get some of the Father's Day cakes that you guys have, and we could get one for each of our dads.
You see how this goes. Okay. Yes.
And the person on the phone is very like, sir, what do you want? Sir, this is an Arby's.
So I thought about this kind of in terms of clock gate.
Okay.
The Michigan, Western Michigan, mm-hmm. Everyone has heard about this who follows anything in college football. And by the way, I tweeted this out. Can I just say, as this is all going on, like a day or two later, there's this headline, oh, by the way, the SEC is meeting to possibly kick LSU out.
And everybody's like, was there still 1 second left?
Well, I'm just saying, is there another sport besides college football that just gives you the headlines that college football gives? The NFL doesn't get these kinds of headlines.
You're right. Even college basketball doesn't have these headlines.
No. There is nothing from a pure entertainment standpoint off the field, mm-hmm. or surrounding the field. There's mm-hmm. nothing like college football.
It is why
just
we
in
love.
1 week.
Yes.
We have 2 different clocks that we use, and you didn't know that.
Yeah, it was the secret clock that still had a second on it.
Yeah. And by the way, here's a major conference considering kicking out a conference, mostly because we just don't like your coach.
normal week one stuff.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But anyway, clock gate. And I feel like the ending of Michigan, Western Michigan, is a story from Robert. It's like, you think it's over.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden, Robert's going to come in with it. I got one more.
Mm-hmm.
I got just mm-hmm. please set the clock. 1 more second. 1 more play.
Mm-hmm.
I thought of you.
Thank you. I was even texting friends. Like, everybody started celebrating when Western Michigan hit the field goal, go up 12-7. And my text threads are lighting up with like, Michigan loses. And it's not, I'm like, the thing I said in the text thread was,
you must be new here.
There is still a phantom pass interference call coming, and it's going to get them in range. That was my prediction, is that there would be they'd throw a 40-yard pass and it's incomplete, but wait, one more play, untimed down, because, you know, that's just what I was expecting. Because the last time I was in that building, you know, on 4th down, Michigan ran a pick play. Bielma told the refs before the play, they're going to run a pick play here. Everybody was on the Illinois sideline screaming, pick play, pick play, pick play. And they allowed Michigan to get a first down on 4th down, where had they called the penalty, the game would be over. We're not going to talk about that. We don't care about that right now. It was 4 years ago, Robert. We don't care. But everybody in my sphere was expecting something to happen to Western Michigan, but no one could have guessed secret clock that still had a second left.
And that the further that there would be clarification issued that the official clock shall no longer be the official clock. Like, we need you all to use the clock that everyone thought was the official clock.
I just...
It's, again, there is nothing more beautiful than... Yes. The cycle of college football.
The funny thing is, like, people understand the whole, like, okay, the clock that the TV is showing you in the little score bug, that clock might be off from the regular clock. And, you know, we've seen college basketball games from smaller networks that in the final second, they'll switch their score bug over to a shot of the actual clock, just because they don't want this type of thing to happen, that their little score bug clock isn't the same, and then the fans are confused. So they're like, all right, it's ugly, but we're just going to put a little window here, a little picture-in-picture of the actual clock, and then everybody knows what's happening. And here we get a replay showing that exact thing. Here's the stadium clock. Here's the moment. Okay, it's not in his hands yet. The clock is at 0. Game's over. And then we find out, oh, no. There's a different clock somewhere that no one sees, and that clock has a second left. It's crazy. Crazy.
Look, anybody who thinks the fix was in for Michigan, I get why you mentioned one thing that just reinforces that belief that Michigan's always going to get a benefit of the doubt. But I do think, like, they got to, I think Western Michigan got a very favorable spot, even after review, much earlier in that game. There's no way anybody got together and said, let's make sure that we make this work for old Michigan. I think it was just, it's what happened. It's just a perfect storm of events that only, if you want to read it through the lens of everybody, like the conference and the officials are always going to favor Michigan, that just helps you interpret it that way. Yep. I don't think that was the case.
Yep.
I just think it was... The officials, it's hard to even say they bungled it. They just, they were going off the clock they were looking at.
Yes.
They just shouldn't have been looking at it.
Yes. And here's the thing about that to me is I kind of feel for whoever at the Big Ten office or the Big Ten officials, their group, or whoever it was, you know, here's how I look at it. If you're that, say, let's go all the way to the conspiracy side. If you're some Western Michigan fan thinking, okay, how are they going to screw us here? You know, oh, what's going to happen? They're going to put time. I know, but they're going to put time back on. There's no time. The TV shows, there's no time, but they're going to do something. What would the conference do if that person, like, what is that person theorizing will happen? That they would say there's a third clock that no one has seen and that that clock still had a second left. Like, it's the exact thing that that Western Michigan fan was thinking when the officials were waving their arms. That guy saying, oh, I know what they're going to do here. They're going to claim there was some other clock and that there's still actually a second left because this is how dirty they are and this is how they're going to cheat. It has to be terrible for the Big Ten officials to then turn around and come out and say, all right, look, this sounds crazy, folks. You're not going to believe me, but there literally is a third clock and it literally had a second. I swear to God, that's what actually just happened here. I swear to you. I know it sounds like exactly what you were expecting me to say, and I'm sorry for that. But there's a second shooter on the grassy knoll, and you're just going to have to deal with it.
Yeah, but there was just too many other opportunities to, nobody was. But if you were trying to weight it in favor, it was more just a series of, you know, Underwood takes a half a beat longer to throw that. Mm-hmm. We're not even talking about this. It just, then both clocks would have been at zero. It's just...
Yep.
It's a comical series of events, except maybe for Western Michigan, who, after taking the high road on the whole thing admirably, accepting the result, upon further review, we decided we would like to appeal this.
Yep.
And at the end of the day, it's going to stay a win, and it's just how it is. And I think everyone will know. Everyone who was there that day and followed the news, everyone knows, and if you want to, whatever you want to do with that, Michigan, whatever you want to do with that. But now we get, Robert, new replay access. The conference had already announced this. The ACC started to do this last year, where they would let you in on the audio and video of the referees and the booths or the replay centers in another location communicating with each other. So transparency in the whole process. I think the UFL, XFL, whatever has done this now.
Yep.
Now the Big Ten's announced earlier this year, we're going to do this on Friday nights. Now they are going to do it for all conference games and most non-conference games where the Big Ten team is the home team and they're using Big Ten officials. That will not be the case for the Illinois Duke game, but it will be for the Southern Illinois game. So that should squash all the conspiracy theories, because we know now in this age of information and access that we have, there's fewer conspiracy theories.
Yes, I'm sure everyone will trust everything that's happened. It's funny. I've been at a UFL game, a St. Louis Battlehawks game, where that's happening, and a bunch of people in the stands, because you could hear the, you know, that type of thing, they would pull up the feed on their, basically on their phone. I think last year somebody told me they actually put it on the big, like the Jumbotron, like they played it in the stadium so you could hear it. But this time people would just go like, oh, they're talking about this penalty. Let me pull up my phone, go to YouTube TV or whatever, watch the stream on my phone, and then I can know what's happening with this penalty before the refs announce it in the stadium. So that's always a fascinating thing, is that you know, you can hear it. You can hear the discussion and know what's going to happen before the official comes back out there and says, all right, we're moving the ball back 15 yards. The pass was actually incomplete.
All right. Should we get to our highlights?
Yes.
And then we will visit with Brandon Lloyd. Time for the highlights. And there's no bigger highlight than, of course, Illinois football kicking at 2:30 on Saturday. And it is the first... The result of a win against UAB was expected, no matter how you got there on this past a week ago Thursday. This game, the experts will give the favor to Illinois on this, but it's still the real, what do we actually have here? And the talking point all week has been tackling must improve. Let's say the tackling is going to improve. How are you feeling about it?
I feel like the tackling will improve, but these are also...
I was saying that was a given.
Yes. I think the tackling will improve, but I'm still worried about the, you know... Bielma said in his Monday press conference, like, we didn't have a single call. Not even just like a, hey, it's third and long, let's just be in this shell defense. They didn't have a single call in the UAB game that they utilized last year. Which means it's still going to be new and confusing and how does this work again and all this kind of stuff. So that's my big concern going into this game. I think the tackling improve, but you've got a much better coordinator, let's say it that way. Somebody who's going to have studied a little film on the new defense and is I'm going to go after that. And I bet if we do this, it really confuses these guys who are used to doing that from last year. So... I am concerned about some scheme confusion on Saturday. That's my big, big concern.
On the part of Illinois, knowing, you mean bodies knowing where to be, when to be there?
Yes. Like, you'll hear it any time. Like, James Kreutz had these assignments last year, and he did this if this was the call and this was the call. There is some muscle memory there to, like, oh, that receiver's in motion, which means they're switching, and then we switch to this and that, that... You have to train yourself on the new defense. Like, no, I ignore that now. That's not part of my reads. That's not part of this. That's what I mean could be defensive confusion. That you're just used to running the same defense, and now you've run another defense for 60 minutes, and you're playing a team that could maybe confuse you and has some athletes and could do some things, and that's where my worries are centered for this game.
After last week's game, we did a post-game podcast, called it a bonus. We did it on the field, and we're intending to do something similar this time around. Some of you left comments on our YouTube and appreciate it, and one of the comments was, still can't run the ball consistently. That's frustrating, too. I don't know. Was that a fair comment? Or do you see it the same way? The first half, especially the first half of the first half, the Illini were gaining so many yards so quickly, there was no time to say, yeah, they've established the run. That said, I would take comfort in... Barry Lunny gave this kind of long-winded, tongue-in-cheek, but also serious about... How many yards was Khalil Valentine's run?
51.
51, yeah. That's not how this works every time. Runs are designed to... This one's there, go get 3 to 5 yards, then you do it again, and then do it again. But if the right hole opens up and the right guy misses, and then it pops, and away you go. But there wasn't a lot of establish that. So I would be comforted to see that Illinois can establish that against a defense that probably won't give up a 51-yarder.
I
would be happy if that wasn't the case.
Yeah. I mean... What was it, close to 6 yards a carry on Thursday, like last Thursday?
Yeah, all I'm saying is, do you look back and just go, well, they just showed they can run the ball.
Yes,
I just don't think you've had the opportunity yet.
It was still better than the first few non-conference games last year. I was encouraged by the run game. People will remember after the, was it Eastern or Western last year? Western last year, right?
Yeah, they were the first team.
Yeah.
Or was it Eastern?
Or even after the Central Michigan game. There was a lot of talk of, like, man, against these defenses, you really, or Western Michigan game last year, like, you really want to run the ball better, you know? Like, what's, you know, I need that 250-yard game kind of thing. I thought this was better. Hold on, I've got it. I have the box score in front of me. 5.8 yards per carry. Yeah, I'm not mad about 5.8 yards per carry. We saw a couple games last year. It was like 4 and 3.8 and this and that. So I'm a little
encouraged.
Yeah, but
if that's per carry, Robert, that means some of the carries were below 5.8.
Sure. Thank you for math.
We have to be consistent here. Unless every carry was 5.8 yards, they are inconsistent. Do you understand?
I know where you're going, and I'm just going to keep pushing past it because so many people are confused. But yes, there is a encouraging. I am not discouraged by the run game. I would disagree with the comment that the run game was okay. It wasn't, oh my gosh, 400 rushing yards. Yeah, we dominated a terrible opponent. But it also was, what's the total rushes? 26 rushing attempts. I'm okay with 150 yards when you only have 26 attempts. I think that's fine. That's just how the game played out.
Stopping the run, I think, is a bigger what will we see?
Yes. Yes. Especially since Duke's tailback had, what, 240 yards or whatever he had in the opener against Tulane. Now Tulane lost their coach and their entire roster, but that's another thing.
Well, but also Duke doesn't have the same quarterback. Mm-hmm. Mensa's on to Miami, right? Yep. And so they went run heavy in week one. There's a reason Illinois it's less than a touchdown, but there's a reason Illinois is favored.
Mm-hmm. I am sticking to my, like, we will know what we need to know in the third quarter of the Duke game. I wrote that 20 times in August. I wrote it throughout the entire football preview I wrote. I've said it on here.
When in the third quarter?
Some point in the third quarter, I'm just going to tweet, like, now we have knowledge. Like, we will know what the defense can be. We will know what kind of team we're going to have. There were just so many confusion, so much confusion. Like, I got so tired of just hearing the numbers 3-3-5 and everybody speculating about what the defense would be. That's my thing. It's like third quarter of the Duke game, then we'll be like, okay, I think that's what this defense is and how we're going to run it.
Can we agree?
Mm-hmm.
By the time the stadium clock says zero on the third quarter?
No, because that's not the real clock. There's a third secret clock somewhere underneath the stadium.
No, they issued a thing this week. Didn't you see it? Like, yes, now we are, hey, yeah, we're all using the clock that everybody can see, even if the secret clock varies.
Even if the secret clock varies, I love this sport so much.
You know what's funny is because you and I have done some editing on this podcast, and we've learned about what I want to say is drift.
Yes. The audio doesn't match the video.
Sometimes because there's frames and frames per second and mm-hmm. stuff that I don't totally understand. But that's the reason the backboard in basketball lights up red. So everybody knows when you're looking at that, okay, this is when it is actually zero. And somebody tweeted, I thought intelligently, like, put a red light on the goalpost.
Yeah.
Like, light it up so that there's a camera that when you see, everybody knows that's the real zero.
Mm-hmm. Yep. We've seen it with shot clocks. We've seen it with college basketball game clock expiring. And is it out of his hand by the time the red light? I think it's a great idea.
Either that or you go with what is, I mean, like play clocks in football.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like there's a little margin there. Same with a pitch clock in baseball. It's kind of like, yeah, you were getting the playoff.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a, we're going to go to tenths of a second here.
Mm-hmm.
It's,
yes.
It's not, was the ball out of the center's finger?
Yes. Yes.
Then you've started the play.
The video. Yes. It's funny because this was the thing when replay came into all sports. This was the discussion 25 years ago of like, yes, it's going to feel better when we see that his foot was down, but he was out of bounds, and it's going to get that play right. But it brings up all this other stuff of like, how far do you go with it and how much do you review? And we're going to spend every time of like, actually, that spot was wrong. We're going to pause the game. His knee was down here. So he's actually at kind of the 31.5. And it's just, where do we stop with this stuff?
I think the fair thing would have been to take captains out from Western Michigan and Michigan and say, okay, guys, you guys on Michigan's side, you captains, you get to vote one of Western Michigan's scoring plays doesn't count. And Western Michigan, one of Michigan's doesn't count, okay? And then that's just even.
I don't know why you're not commissioner at this point.
I have a lot of brilliant ideas. Let's carry on with our highlights and volleyball. Three straight wins. Congratulations. They swept through Texas, didn't give up a sweep on a trip down there. McNeese State 3-0 and Rice 3-0. Yeah, a little step down in the competition compared to what they saw earlier in the opening weekends of the season, and going to play Tennessee. But then they also took care of Lindenwood last night, Wednesday night. So they are on a streak and hopefully building some consistency. It looks like they're sticking with the libero in Talitha Gonsalves. So best of luck to volleyball as they continue this weekend. And then soccer, by the time most of you, if not all of you, are consuming this, will have played their first Big Ten match. It's tonight, Thursday night, against Wisconsin. Wisconsin is a solid up at the top of the Big Ten year after year type of program. But soccer just went through a road trip to Western Michigan, actually, and then Virginia Tech, shut them both out on a couple of road wins. And again, the theme for soccer this year has been really good defense, really good goalkeeping, with like a few more goals.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that one Izzy Lee save in the Virginia Tech game, like full out dive, fingertips on it, tip it just past the post. Like that was, like she is good. Yeah. She is worth the price of admission.
Yep. And Illinois basketball, men's basketball had their annual preseason banquet deal with Kiwanis. Tommy Ivasich was in attendance.
I mean, were people thinking he was just going to be like locked at the airport in Belgrade for 4 months or something? Like, you know, it was a visa issue. They got it sorted.
Well,
it is a college sport. We do need to talk about it.
If Robert, let me tell you something about this fan base. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you're familiar with the Illinois fan base.
Yes.
It can get a little concerned at times. Dare I say paranoid when it comes to their basketball?
I'm going to leave that alone because I would offend too many people. But yes, Tommy is here. He's on campus. It's fine. It's fine. Let's enjoy this, not go to conspiracy theories.
All right. It is also Hall of Fame weekend. Not only is a new class being inducted this weekend, but it's the 10th anniversary of the Illini Hall of Fame. And it's also the 25-year... I was a senior. It's a 25-year reunion of the Big Ten champion and Sugar Bowl Illini football team. That means Brandon Lloyd's here because he's going into the Hall of Fame. And he was on that Sugar Bowl team. And he was a really good wide receiver.
And a really good track athlete. And a really good NFL wide receiver. And an all-pro. And a thousand other things. And a top five Illini football player that I have watched in my entire lifetime.
He's also got an MBA. He's our guest next here on Light the Eye. Light the Eye is brought to you by Logic Coworking. Champaign Urbana's home for co-working, the ideal place for you to get a project completed, to study, or as a remote office environment. It's bright and airy, and the staff is friendly. And if you're a member, you can enjoy 24/7 access to their best-in-class amenities, including free printing and fast Wi-Fi. And there's daily passes offered if you just need a chance to retreat or get away, and students can do so for a discount. If you're looking for a more permanent place to work, you can book an office. Plus, there's conference and event space. Logic Co-working, adjacent to the Bake Lab and Napoli's Restaurant at the corner of Neal and St. Mary's in Champaign. Logic Co-working, supporting Light the Eye.
Kittner on third down, back to throw, pumps, throws long, intends for Lloyd. He got it! He's got it! Touchdown, Illinois, to Brandon Lloyd! Touchdown, Illinois, Kurt Kittner lofted it up there.
Our guest on Light the Eye is Brandon Lloyd. He is headed into the Illinois Hall of Fame. He had an outstanding career as an Illini. He is second all-time in career touchdowns. He is a Sugar Bowl participant and from the 2001 Big Ten champion team. And now he's going to be in the Illini Hall of Fame. And don't forget, a pretty good NFL career. Brandon Lloyd, thank you so much for joining us. And welcome to Light the Eye.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
It's great.
It's a thrill to be here. We walked into the Armory, and you had memories. People think of you as a football player, right? That's what you're going to the Hall of Fame for. But you were a track athlete too.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. I was like, oh, practices in the Armory. Uh-huh.
Did you do that for 1 year? Was it?
Did that for one season. Yeah. Which was a great season. That was. We ended up winning the indoor Big Ten championship that year.
Uh-huh.
And it was kind of some unlikely contributions from me. Got third in the Big Ten and high jump and third in the 60-meter hurdles. And so it was neat. That was kind of on my way to being newcomer of the year, newcomer of the year.
Absolutely.
Had Coach Winicky and Coach Turner on each side. So
that's so great.
Very special.
That's so great.
Do not challenge him to a long jump contest. Okay. So that's just it's going to be a not good for at least one of you.
I made a claim that I thought I could long jump 10 feet, and so then he called me on it, so we went out and filmed it,
and
I could not long jump 10 feet. That's all you really need to know.
Right.
I couldn't cash the check that my mouth wrote.
We showed the clip coming into this segment of your famous catch against Wisconsin.
Yes.
And I mean, that's kind of the moment Brandon Lloyd is known for. Do you like being known for that moment, that kind of an iconic moment?
Of course. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's special. It, you know, even just, you know, it's the preparation of that season and then going into that game against the legendary Barry Alvarez, right? And so it was just everything that kind of went into that, and Coach Turner outcoached him.
Yeah, that's right.
You know, uh-huh. And it was just like, and the players, we outplayed them, and it was just such a special, you know, combination, you know, of just that season going into it. It was sort of early in the season, you know, mid season, and then kind of needing to finish out the season and closing out with Northwestern at home and clinching the Big Ten championship.
Is that your fondest memory? I have this list in my head because I've been a fan for 40 years, and you know, I have this whole list of, you know, I'm a little geeked up to have you here because 26-year-old me is really excited right now. Is that okay? I'll just put it this. Here's the four main Brandon Lloyd highlights I remember. Which is your favorite? One is obviously the Wisconsin catch. Two is the tip it to yourself at Ohio State, right? Three is the pass. You threw a touchdown pass in the MicronPC.com bowl to Kurt Kittner, and then we talked to Ron Turner once. He claimed Kurt had said that week he was going to try to throw it out of the stadium. He didn't get it out of the stadium. So the touchdown pass, and I think it was... He had a catch over the middle that was a precursor to all your great NFL catches. I want to say it was San Jose State. There, it was just you ducked underneath the DB with one hand. You were headed toward the south end zone, and you somehow, he didn't see the ball, and you kind of caught it like under here by his knee. I don't know if you remember what game that was, but I think it was San Jose State in 2020 or 2002. But what's number one for you? Like number one, like that's your moment at Illinois.
I would say the Ohio State tip it to myself. Like that was the one that was, you know, when I first got to Illinois, I didn't really have a vision of greatness or what it was. You know,
sure.
It was Michael Dean,
sure,
fifth year senior, who was like really invested in me. Mm-hmm. Obviously Ron Turner, Coach McMahon, but then to go out on ESPN against the Ohio State and make a big time Sports Center worthy play. That was kind of like, all right, that was it.
And that was everywhere that day. You know, people have always said that once you're on, like if you were in the social media era, you would have the OBJ kind of like reputation because of so many acrobatic catches. But yeah, that was the moment that was everywhere of like, you knew the DB was going to get it, so you just tipped it past him and grabbed it.
But what was so important about the Wisconsin was me coming back from the injury.
Yeah.
From out, being out for a season.
Sure.
Fractured femur. Questions about if I was going to be able to be at the same level or where I would even be going into that season. But then coming back, and I'd point out that Cal game, which was 175 yards, two touchdowns. I mean, one even got called back. I was like,
I was there in the end zone screaming. I high-fived you after that game. I gave Joe Beavis a hug. So, yes, I remember everything about that game.
I feel like that one, for me, was like personally meant a lot.
Yeah.
Just like coming back, yeah. redeeming myself mm-hmm. and, you know, in the eyes of Coach Turner and my family and my teammates.
It was and that was so the game much. Of like, wow, this team could be special. And, yep. you know, the last Big Ten champion. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You've been back many times since then. And you were Grand Marshal at a homecoming parade. And 25 years after you win a Big Ten championship, you're going into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
I know you got a big family. You got 6 siblings. You got a lot of people coming in. What does this mean to you?
It's, you know, prior to this, being a Big Ten champion was my greatest achievement. I never won any team sports, never won a championship in any team sports my entire life until I got to Illinois. And so, you know, I won a bunch of state championships individually, but, you know, to come and to be on a team that was so invested in one another and committed to one another and the coaching staff and just a program. Talking about the Hall of Fame, I can't help but to think about the Big Ten Championship, because to me, my contributions to the Big Ten Championship team are really what landed me in the Hall of Fame. I truly believe that. And it was all the teammates, you know, they helped me accountable, who challenged me, encouraged me, the coaching staff, the staff, the front office staff, the training staff. You know, it's like so many folks that are involved in building the program that Ron Turner was putting together. And it was like, it was all that encouragement and all of those components that went into it that just brought the best out of me, just brought absolute best out of me. And so that's what it means to me. It's more the contributions of other folks. It's kind of mm-hmm. how I see it. It was almost like when I went to the Pro Bowl, that what a great individual achievement, but it was just so humbling to be voted in by my peers and coaches and for them to think of me that way and the performance that I put out there for that season, to think of it that way. So it's kind of, you know, in these moments, I more think about others and how they contribute and poured into me to bring the best out of me.
Sure.
And you get the invitation from a former teammate. Now you're now the athletic director, and Josh Whitman, who, mm-hmm. if he had redshirted, could have been on that Sugar Bowl team, but he played the 97 winless season and maybe came out better for it, but missed out on the ring.
But those seniors would say, well, if you hadn't been a bonehead and got hurt, we would have went.
2000 might have been different.
Yeah. All right. So, but yeah, he called last spring and then he told me, and he was kind of like, oh, come on, you had to know I was calling for this. Cause I was shocked. And I was like, no, I thought you were just calling for me to ring the horn or be the honorary captain or something. I didn't know what you were calling for. So, but yeah, it was definitely an emotional moment, you know, even just for him to just seeing me as a freshman and then kind of the whole progress. And again, back to how I feel about Ron Turner and the program. It, you know, there was a lot of players like Josh and when the 25-year anniversary, we all get together, we're going to be naming so many names of players from that 97 class, 98, of players. I know when I viewed them, those players, they lost a lot of games, but I didn't view them as losers. You know, those are the individuals that poured into us to help us see a better future. Like, so it was a whole program. So it's unfortunate that those guys don't get to celebrating the championship, but the championship isn't built on one season. Mm-hmm. It's all those players before, all those coaches before, that really laid a foundation for us and really set our mindset on what we were capable of doing.
I'm curious of the status of your phone years ago. Let's say 7-8 years ago, I think it started on TikTok. Someone had put your catch against, let's see, it was for the Niners, the sideline catch.
Oh, that was the Seahawks.
The Seahawks one where you tipped it, caught it, kept your toes in, this mm-hmm. and that. It went everywhere because, again, you didn't play in the social media era. So then somebody put together a clip of like, and it just said like OBJ before OBJ. And it was all of your, it was the Giants, the one that got called back mm-hmm. for the penalty. It was the one with the the Rams won going out of bounds. It was, you know, all this. And suddenly it went viral. And so from my status as an Illinois guy, suddenly people are just talking about Brandon Lloyd. I'm curious about you. Was it like a bunch of, like, a brother sending you like, hey, man, you're everywhere on social media today. Do you remember when those videos kind of hit?
Yeah, it was actually my colleagues, my work colleagues.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was, so they're kind of like what, like what's this?
Wait, that's you? You led the NFL in receiving in 2010? Like,
right?
You know, a new generation like learns all of your stats.
You know, because it's different. It's right now we're in an era. If it's not online, then it didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And it feels that way sometimes. Where
you're right.
It's you know, the media department just sent me some a mashup of catches, just random catches from all three of my seasons here.
Sure.
And it's like emotional because it's just like,
yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I forgot. And I did it. You know, so think about folks who, you know, who only remember me from one of the seven NFL teams that I played on, right?
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, or even maybe for Washington, where it was kind of like meh, where it was like didn't really do much. So I was like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
So I think it's fun to unearth those, that footage, and then and have it kind of back in the ethos, and even hear young influencers seeing it for the first time. There's a young influencer who was like watching it for the first time, and it was just like, this is dope.
My younger son sent me the video of like, this guy played for Illinois. Like, what? Whoa. Like, how come I don't know about this?
Yeah.
Like, because you live in this world of just these clips.
Yeah. Funny story. I was back for the 100 year rededication.
Yeah.
And so Bielema brings me back to the locker room. He's like, all right, I'll get you in a little bit. Meet me in the office, you know, walk around. And so I'm walking through the hallways, and Pat Bryant walks out, and he goes, whoa. He goes, you're Brandon Lloyd. You're the guy on the wall in the receiver room.
Yes, that's right. Yes, they're going to learn now. You're also the guy hanging in the lobby of the, you know, the little thing of that. Looks, I know you've got to get going. You have a bunch of media events and everything else today. But thank you for spending some time with us.
Yes.
Congratulations on everything. Course. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we're looking forward to everything you're going to be part of this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Yep.
It was great to visit with Brandon Lloyd. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him a few other times, and it's always like that. It's just scratching the surface when you talk with him. He's energetic, he's excited, enthusiastic, and he's thoughtful.
Yeah, I had so many questions if we would have had more time that I still had in my head. But he's, you know, not only all Big Ten guy while he was here, and not only a top two receiver of all time, and not only great NFL player, but then he came back later and got his degree, and like, he's a great story for the university of like, hey man, this place changed my life, and I came here, and he did track and football and was a sudden star in 99, and it's just such a great story of what can come out of this place.
I always feel, when I see an athlete that played so long ago, and you're like, remember that time and did this and this, you know, for a lot of people, that's what they know Brandon Lloyd as. Mm-hmm. And I almost want to be like, hey, I'm sorry. Like, I know you're a person now. It's not just about what you accomplished when you were 20 years old. And a lot of us too, you look back at who you were, what you were when you were 20 years old. There's things you're proud of. There's things you're like, I'm glad I grew out of that in my life.
Yeah. I mean, he's put an album out. His music was on, like, what was that football show? Blue Mountain State. Like, they used his one of his songs on Blue Mountain State. And, like he has done so, so much in his life. And, yeah, here we are saying, here I am asking him, like, what was better, the San Jose State catch or the Ohio State tip it to yourself?
No, it's great. I mean, this is to be celebrated. He totally should be honored.
Yep.
It's just I'm always just remembering, like, okay. I just, if I was only known for something I did when I was 20 years old,
yes,
I'd be, at some point I'd be like, you know, I got a job now and I, you know, I got family and, you know, I can read and write, you know.
Look, I have many great athletic accomplishments ahead of me, but all anyone's going to remember is me falling flat on my face trying to jump 10 feet.
Well, that's just the viral age we live in.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help that. But also, I do always say, we're getting to the point, I've been doing this for a little bit, and now we are, Io DeSumo's going in this weekend, Jordan Poulter from volleyball, like, it's kind of bittersweet to see players that you've covered, now they're eligible for the Hall of Fame. Like, when this first started, it was like all players from the years gone by.
Yeah.
And now it's like, oh, Io was just here.
Mm-hmm.
That's not fair, because it just makes us feel older.
Yes. Yes. Let's see. Io's commitment ceremony was in like October of, I guess it would have been 17. Is that right? So we're coming up on 9 years from when Io committed to Illinois. That's nuts.
Yep. I remember the tweet. Io was the first player born after January 1, 2000 to score in an Illinois basketball game.
Interesting. I don't know if I remember that.
Yeah, he's the first. Anyway. All right, sir. We're gonna mix it up after the Duke game.
Yes.
Looking forward to it. Mm-hmm. Plan is to be out in the tailgate lot and break down the Duke game. We'll give you a bonus episode. Love everybody's feedback on that. And
the hope is that that thing is lit in the background. Because, you know, if we happen to lose, it doesn't get lit after the game. So tune in to see if the eye is lit. You'll probably have found out by then whether Illinois has won or lost. But, yes, hopefully we are doing this in front of a lit eye because we're 2-0.
Yeah, podcasts aren't so much for the on-demand or instant breaking news thing.
You're right. You're right.
Thanks to our hosts here in the Center for Innovation in Teaching and Learning. Thanks to our editor, Kayla Podgursky. Thanks to our presenting sponsor, the U of I Credit Union. Also, thanks to Logic Co-working, and for our helpers here in the studio, Kevin Southworth and Eric Johnston. For my co-host, Robert Rosenthal, we'll talk to you again the next time when we light the eye.